Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. All right, you guys, welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and it's the first Monday of the month, so it must be our time to visit with Dr. Marty Greer, our very favorite reproductive veterinarian ever.
Another month has gone by. Oh my gosh, I can't even believe it.
Can we believe? It's now, P.S., you're hearing this, it's November.
I don't even know how that happened.
Nobody knows how that happened. Nobody knows how that happened. Yeah, here we are. So, hey, Marty, how you doing? You got a little bit of the cred, but you're still smiling. Hey,
it's fine. You know,
well medicated.
I've been through a lot worse than this. When I had mono, they gave me prednisone. It seemed appropriate. That was 50 years ago. So just say
it's all good. All right. Well, we had a listener request, our favorite thing. A listener, patron actually, who told us the story that she had listened to our podcast about breast cancer in pets, that she had made that her mission to then give every dog in her kennel a spa day. She found a mammary tumor and she found a pregnant bitch that she had not noticed being bred. So we said, maybe we should talk about split cycles and silent seasons. And that seems like a fantastic Marty Greer topic. All right, you guys. As a breeder, you're passionate about setting up each puppy for success, whether that's in the ring or at home. While puppies can be vulnerable to unexpected accidents and illnesses, you can help ensure that they have access to high-quality care when they need it with Trupanion, medical insurance for pets. Trupanion created their breeder support program with responsible breeders in mind, so you're able to send each litter home with a special offer for immediate pet medical insurance coverage. When your buyers take advantage of this offer, their puppy receives coverage against whatever life may throw their way, from an upset tummy to a broken leg and everything in between, Trupanion can help. As a member of Trupanion's free breeder support program, you'll also receive access to more special perks, including comprehensive litter health insights, educational resources to share with your buyers, and more. So sign up today at Trupanion.com/Pure Dog Talk. Trupanion is underwritten in Canada by Accelerant Insurance Company of Canada, or GPIC Insurance Company, and in the United States by American Pet Insurance Company, or ZPIC Insurance Company. All right, guys, whether you're a first-time breeder or a seasoned veteran, it's not just a litter, it's your legacy. Each puppy represents your hard work, your dedication, and it shows your commitment to the next generation. Revival is honored to support you every step of the way. You can find everything you need to support your litters and the health of your dams and sires with Breeders Edge, Revival's premium line of reproductive and neonatal health products. Breeders Edge was actually developed with the help of our very own Dr. Marty Greer, Revival's Director of Veterinary Services, and a leading expert in canine reproduction and neonatal care. Breeders also rely on Revival, the pet vaccine experts, for vaccine selection and safe shipping to give their litters the protection they need. Revival's online pharmacy serves breeders with a wide variety of prescription medications, plus a knowledgeable staff that's always ready to answer any questions. Grow your own healthy legacy with help from Revival Animal Health. And check this out, one time only, $15 off your order of $99 or more by using the code PODCAST15. You can use this code by calling 4751 or stopping by www.revivalanimal.com.
Good. Let's do it.
Here we go. Let's do it. What in the world? Like, how does this, are they trying to kill us?
Well, there's a reason we call them bitches.
Well, fair. Truly fair. But Silent Heats and Split Seasons, the same, not the same?
Not the same.
Okay.
No. There are some bitches that fail to ovulate. Mm-hmm. And they have a cystic ovary, and that will cause them to have an initial indication that they look like they're in heat, but then they don't persist and they don't ovulate. And so then we end up with either a cystic ovary or a split heat. And then there's silent heats, which are kind of the opposite, where the bitches come into heat, they merrily go on their way, their ovaries do all the things they're supposed to do, their hormones do all the things they're supposed to do. But they just don't tell you that they're in heat. They either keep themselves really, really clean, or they just don't have much discharge. And there's really not a correlation between small amount of discharge and, you know, not having a normal ovulatory cycle. There are bitches, you'll never see a drop of blood. And I have one that sleeps in my bed. Never see blood. I know she's in heat. Never see blood. But is that a silent heat? Is that just a bitch that keeps herself really clean? So, you know, what do you do with those? And then you have, like I said, the opposite, where they look like they're coming into heat and they either split their heat or they just fail to ovulate and they just sit there with their progesterone for an extended period of time at this sub 5 level, 5 nanograms per milliliter deciliter level, which becomes really difficult to breed those girls.
Okay, so let's start with our silent heat. My personal story on this one was a wire hair pointer bitch that I had tried to get bred multiple times. Multiple opportunities, never could get her bred. She was with the co-owner for several of those. So I finally said, just send her to me. Let me figure this out. And this is a white wire hair, right? Like pretty easy.
Oh, so it should be obvious, right?
Yeah, real obvious. And most of my wire hairs look like the hoo-hoo that ate China. I mean, like really swollen and obvious, but not this one. So we're going along. She's when she should be in season, da-da-da. Finally, I see some discharge. I'm like, okay, we're going right now. So we went right now to the minute, the day I saw the first discharge. Immediately, I went to the veterinarian and pulled progesterone. She had just ovulated. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate. I had, you know, we got the breeding done. But my point is, that is common, not common. Where does that fall in our discussion of these silent heats?
It's relatively common. I mean, yesterday I had a client that brought in 2 female dogs. She was trying to decide which one to breed. One of them had just ovulated that day. The other one's progesterone was already at 30 and she was going to plan to ship fresh chilled semen. Well, that ship has sailed. So it was easy to decide which of the two that got bred, because one of them, if you had a male dog standing in the room and you could have done a TCI, you might have gotten her pregnant. But at a 30, you don't have time to scramble around and get your frozen semen or your fresh chilled semen or your stud dog lined up. So unless your stud dog is standing in your kennel, you've missed that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So yeah, most of the time we say, let's start testing progesterone on day 6 of her heat cycle.
Right.
But if you've been washed out of that program because some of these girls keep themselves clean or they're just really quiet about their heat cycles, and if you don't have a male in your house, it's easier if you have a male, even if he's neutered. It's easier if you have a male, because at least they're pointing out to you like, hey.
No, none of the boys even said she was in season. That was the weird part.
And sometimes that happens. So it makes it tricky. Now, if you have a male in the house and they will send up smoke signals and news flashes and, you know, did you notice she's in heat? Those are really helpful. And even if it's a male that's neutered, even if he's already neutered, but he at some point had his testicles, he's still going to know that she's in heat. And as one of my clients aptly says, when you neuter them, you remove their testicles. You don't do a lobotomy on them. So I think that's pretty funny, because even if they're neutered, they still can flag to you that there's something going on. Mm-hmm. So if you have a male dog in your house and he's telling you something, listen to him, because he's probably right and you're probably wrong, because you're just a dumb human. And all you do is spend, you know, 30 seconds looking at her back in when you open the door to let her out. But he is spending 24 hours a day going,
right,
did you notice? Did you see?
Okay, so our boys are going to give us an indication, right?
Right. Neutered or intact, they're going to tell you most of the time if she's in heat. Now, he might not if he's been snarked at. Mm-hmm. If she's been telling him, no, 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 he might be afraid of her. And so he may just say, I'm passing.
Peace out, man.
But yeah, but there are definitely even male dogs that have been neutered that know that she's in heat. So they still know. I mean, hormonally, if you have a spayed female, she knows that the females are in heat. If you have a neutered male, he knows the females are in heat. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of pheromones that are floating around your house that you are just a stupid human and are not picking up, but the dogs definitely are. Right. So listen to your dogs, like pay attention to the signals that they're giving you, because they're not going to tell you the wrong thing. They're going to signal to you that there's something going on.
So we're going to get to the split cycle later, but on the silent heat, why, right? Like, what's causing this? Is this something that we worry about in a breeding program where we're trying to, you know, really make sure that we're concentrating on our fertile bitches or like all that kind of stuff?
No, it doesn't typically interfere with fertility. So those girls will be pretty much fertile. The tricky part is to recognize it when it happens, mm-hmm. because it may just be a little bit of swelling of the vulva. You may not see any discharge. It can be tricky. I have some clients that we just have them blot the vulva every single day with a white tissue so that they can detect if there's anything. Because some of the girls do keep themselves really clean. Sometimes if they're in a crate, you want to put a white towel or a white blanket underneath them so that you can see more readily. So those are things that you can do. And if you absolutely flat out have just been aced out of all of this, what I typically tell people to do is every 30 days, take her in, or every 4 weeks, whatever works into your schedule. Because if every 30 days that falls on a different day of the week, if it's every fourth Tuesday, just take her to your vet clinic and have them do a progesterone. Mm. And the progesterone will tell you if she has ovulated in the last 60 days. So at least then you can start to say, okay, there was nothing going on in December. There was nothing going on in January. But in February, she ovulated. Okay, that doesn't help you if you don't find out until March
right.
that she ovulated in February, except that then 6 months from February, which if you add 6 and 2 together comes up with 8, which is August, then starting in July, you are going to be watching her like a hawk, and you're probably going to then start taking her in maybe once a week for a progesterone. I mean, there's some things that you can strategically do with your veterinarian if they're interested in helping you out with a repro case to strategically start to pinpoint when that's happening. And if you go then once a week, once you say, okay, sometime in this next month, she's going to ovulate. Mm-hmm. Now you have narrowed it down to at least, you know, within the week. And then you still have time to get your stud dog, get your semen, whatever it is that you need to do to get the breeding accomplished. I probably wouldn't do a frozen semen breeding on that bitch, but I would certainly not hesitate to do a fresh chilled or a fresh breeding.
Well, and I think that was my takeaway from my experience with this is I knew that we'd missed her several times before late. Like for no good reason. And so my thing was, as soon as I saw color, I was going in. I knew who I was breeding her to. I had talked to the stud dog owner. We had plans. We knew it was coming. So when I called the stud dog owner and said, ebbity, 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 she's like, yeah, I can run him down. We've got a fresh chill.
Right.
Was there the next day. So,
you know. Because you know how to plan.
Preparation is key.
Right. And there are three rules at my practice, and this applies to my staff. This applies to my clients is number one is the answer is always yes. And the staff hates to hear that because then I have people come in that they don't really feel like they were appropriately prepared for. Mm-hmm. Number two is be prepared. And three is follow through. And so if you're prepared, so you want to have your plan A dog, your plan B dog, and your plan C dog. Mm-hmm. So if plan A is I'm going to use frozen semen, but the semen hasn't been signed off by the owner of the semen. And then plan B is the fresh chilled semen, but the dog's camping in Montana where there's no cell phone service. What's your plan C dog? So that at least you have some idea of what you're going to do. So, you know, because I did a bunch of consults this afternoon. And really, when you think about the life of a bitch, you may have 6 or 8 good opportunities from the time she turns 2 until the time she becomes too old to breed her. Like, that's not a lot
it's
of
not
chances.
A lot.
No, it's not. A cow, if you miss breeding a cow, now economically it's important if you mix breeding your dairy cow because now you're not going to produce milk. But in 21 days, she comes back into heat. You get another chance. Mm-hmm. In the dog world, it may be 6 to 12 months before she comes back into heat. And now what do? Now you've got a dog that all of a sudden she had a career and you did this and you did that. And then there was COVID and then your son got married and then all these things happened. Mm-hmm. And suddenly she's 7.
I've got one I'm trying to get bred this fall that is, she's 5. Like, this is it. Like, she has never been bred. I have got to get this bitch bred this fall. And there's been, like you say, all the reasons. And it's a chop chop.
Yeah, you're running out of time, baby cakes.
I hear you. It is a fact. Okay, so there's no particular identifiable reason. And do bitches who have silent or split seasons, do they always have them? Or is that just kind of like, no. Randomly, no. I'm going to mess with your random. Head.
It's random. There's a reason we call them bitches. They make everything as hard as they possibly can. They're like most women. They want you to just throw a lot of money at them, and then they're happy.
Buy them diamonds. If I could just buy you diamonds, would that be okay? Just come in season.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
It explains to you why I prefer boy dogs. Just going to say. Love me some boy dogs.
I like my girls. We all have our thing. Thank goodness there are people who like both.
My mom, you know, I miss my mom all the time. She was the girl dog person. She loved the girls. She loved the puppies. She loved the way, like, she was really
I'm your mom.
Into it.
Yep. I'm like your mom.
Love the boys. Like, they're big, dumb, happy, love you. You know, they spend like 1 month out of their life completely insane because somebody's in season. That's about it. And I just love that. And so when my mom was alive, we worked together and, you know, it worked out great. Like, she had the girls and I had the boys and Merry Christmas. It's not so
cool. Yeah, it does work. It does work well. But we all have our preferences and that's perfectly fine. There's no reason not to. So it doesn't mean you have an infertile bitch. It doesn't mean that she can't get pregnant. It just means you have to be a little bit more strategic about how you manage her. And then we really have to talk about the nutrition. We have to talk about housing. You have to have at least 14 hours a day of full spectrum light. So if your dogs are in crates with crap stacked on top of it, or they're in a room that doesn't have adequate lighting, they're not going to have normal cycles. If you're not feeding them the right kind of diets, they're not going to have normal cycles. If you've got them on weird supplements, they're not going to cycle normally. So
go back to our podcast about infertility and bitches. I think it might be the most listened to episode we've ever done. Like, people just keep emailing me about it.
Yeah, but it really takes some strategic maneuvers to make this work. So you have to take a really global look at this because it's really easy to get in the trenches and just forget. You're so focused on one thing, you forget to take that giant step backwards and say, okay, let's look at the whole breeding program and figure out where did we go off the rails.
Right. 100%. Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. Hey, you guys, does your dog have itchy, like, sensitive skin? If so, think about trying the new ProPlan Veterinary Supplements Skincare Soft Chews. This supplement is specially made to support dogs' skin health, including conditions like sensitive skin and seasonal allergies. ProPlan Veterinary Supplements Skincare Soft Chews feature collagen, EPA and DHA, vitamin E and zinc to support the dog's skin health. Omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids help maintain the natural skin protective barrier. Vitamin E provides antioxidant support, while zinc offers immune support. So look for the National Animal Supplement Council quality seal on the package that certifies that skincare soft chews meet the highest quality and compliance standards for pet supplements. They also taste great and are easy to add to your dog's daily feeding routine. ProPlan's Veterinary Supplements Skincare Soft Chews are available via the My Purina app or by visiting purina.com/mypurinaapp. where you earn points on every purchase. You can also buy it online at Chewy and Amazon and in stores at Petco. Okay, and so that is different than our split cycle. Our bitch she's not just kind of witchy. She's like got some stuff. So let's talk through that for a minute.
Yep, they start to come into heat. You go into the vet, they do a vaginal cytology. Yes, she's in heat. They do a progesterone. Yes, she's in heat. Her progesterone is 2. You go back another 3 days later, her progesterone is 2. You go back another 3 days later, her progesterone is 1.9. And then you're like, oh my God, I missed her. Well, no, because when a bitch starts to rise, once she hits 4 or 5, it's going to rise and continue to rise. They don't go up part of the way and then go down. That's not what an ovulation looks like. But there are definitely bitches that are like, oh, Just kidding. I was just going to take my ovaries for a little test drive. Like, I'm 14 months old and this is my first heat.
I have cramps and I hate it.
And I just thought I'd try out these ovaries, but they're not working out very well. So I'm just going to pretend I'm not in heat. And then 6 weeks later, they truly come into heat. And it's most common in the northern breeds, but not exclusive. There's nothing you can say that's 100% anything, one breed only thing that happens. They're just split heats. And so you just wait. You know, so the difference between a split heat and a bitch that fails to ovulate is what happens in the next 4 to 6 weeks. If she comes out of heat and goes back in, then it was a split cycle. If she never ovulates, then you need to talk to your veterinarian about how to manage a cystic ovary and figure out how you're going to go from there, because that's a really complicated thing. Split heats are not complicated. Failure to ovulate is a different complication.
Okay, so this is a super great distinction. So my bitch comes in and pops right out again, maybe because I've been traveling or she has stress or I shipped her to the dog or whatever series of reasons. Yes?
Yes. Because some of them, if you ship them too early, if you ship them before they ovulate, they cross their little legs and they're like, nope, I'm not going to ovulate. So I don't recommend, I can't control what you do. I don't recommend that you travel to the stud dog until the bitch has hit 5 nanograms per deciliter that you know she's ovulated. And if you're driving to a stud dog, typically you're not going to have more than a 2-day drive. If you have more than a 2-day drive, you should ship semen and let the UPS guy do the driving, not you. So, I mean, well, that's what UPS and the FedEx and the Postal Service are for, is to do your driving. Like,
I hear you.
You don't have to drive from Washington State to Florida to get a stud dog.
We had a dog, his name was Windswept Scotian Expedition, because the stud dog owner left from Seattle and the bitch owner left from Michigan, and they drove across the country and met up in North Dakota, and the dogs did the wild thing on a Motel 6 bed. Like, I don't know, but it was...
Isn't that everybody's idea of a romantic honeymoon?
No. No, it's 100% no.
Just saying.
So we're saying that that isn't ideal. Got it. So in a split cycle, stress can cause it. Lots of things can cause the bitch to just pop out of season. And then she'll come back. What did you say? 4 to 6 weeks later, she'll actually be back in season.
Yeah. The bloody discharge will go away and then it comes back. A dog that doesn't ovulate, the bloody discharge persists normally. If it's a split heat, normally the bloody discharge goes away and then it comes back 4 to 6 weeks later. And then you go merrily on your way and breed her and everybody's happy and you live happily ever after with the new litter of puppies. It's all good.
All right. So far, we've done two things. We've done the silent. We've done the split. Now we get to the one that's the bad one, that's the bitch never actually ovulates. So what's causing that?
It may be nutrition. It may be inbreeding. It may be bad luck. It may be a lot of things. It may be
breeding depression, you're talking.
Uh-huh. Yeah, maybe that you live on a farm with atrazine and your well water is bad. I mean, there's so many reasons that we can't always get a good answer on what happens. Because bitches don't go through menopause. A lot of people are like, oh, well, she's old now. She won't. No, she can still get pregnant. We've seen 12-year-old dogs walk through our door with a pregnancy. So please don't test your luck. Some bitches just don't have normal heats, and it may be you have a family line of dogs that just don't. So in that case, I'll just tell people you better just start over.
Start with a new bitch. So you were talking about cystic ovaries. So if we've got a bitch that's just not ovulating for like what, 3 seasons in a row, when do we start looking at that?
Yeah, I probably would not wait for the 3rd season. I'd probably start to react at the 2nd season. Okay. And then you need to work with somebody that's really pretty crafty with how they manage hormones, because that's not easy to do. And we don't have great drugs in the United States to manage those things. So you may need to work with somebody that's really not just a breeder vet, but really skilled at the art of canine reproduction, because there is a bit of an art.
And so how do you diagnose, and then how do you treat a cystic ovary?
Well, diagnosis can be on ultrasound. If you have somebody that's good with ultrasound and can see that there's a cyst on the ovary with the ultrasound, you're going to see that the ovary has a fluid-filled pocket on it. In those cases, we may use a series of injections of GnRH. We may use other drugs, which we can't really talk about because they're not U.S. drugs. But GnRH is a United States-approved drug for cattle. It's called Cysterellin on the cattle side, and it's cyst, like C-Y-S-T. Mm-hmm. I had somebody that called me one day, and she said, what is that nun drug? I'm like, nun drug? And she goes, you know, Cysterellin. I'm like, oh, no. We're not talking about the nun sister Ellen. We're talking about Cysterellin. So, you know, there are some drugs and some dogs that will respond to that, but it is not a nun. Yeah, it just cracked me up. You know, I live in Wisconsin. We have a lot of dairy cows. My husband used Cysterellin every day, but the nun was never with him in the truck.
That's hysterical. Okay, so you can treat it. You can diagnose it. You can treat it. How often is the treatment actually successful? I mean, do they come back?
Yeah, they'll usually come back into heat. But it doesn't always work. And sometimes those are just bitches that end up washing out of our breeding program because it just may not be worth trying to manage. Mm-hmm. And like I said, sometimes you start over. I had one client that kept struggling with her bull mastiff bitch, couldn't get her pregnant, couldn't breed her pregnant. We did fava beans. You know, we did every possible thing that you could possibly imagine. You know, we had fava beans under the light of the full moon and she still wouldn't get pregnant. And so we finally said, okay, why don't you start over? And she went out and got a new bitch, and she ended up with a litter of 15 puppies, 15 bull mastiff puppies. I walked down the hall at my health clinic one afternoon, and here she was with 15 puppies and X-Bens. And I'm like, well, and she said, I don't think this was really what I planned. I went from 0 to 15. I'm like,
yeah, but bull mastiffs have litters of 12 to 15, like all the time.
When they do, or they have zero.
Oh my God. And I want to make sure that we clarify, because we were kind of talking about something else and we were talking about uterine cysts right. And ovarian cysts are very different. And I just wanted to make sure that I gave you the opportunity to expand on that and just clarify.
Right. And then there's two kinds of uterine cysts. There's the kind in the lining, and then there's the kind on the outside of the uterus. So the ones in the lining are cystic endometrial hyperplasia, and that typically happens in certain lines of dogs, certain breeds of dogs that have just this really proliferative cystic kind of structure that forms on the inside of the lining of the uterus. And when we take a dog to TCI and we can't get her pregnant, we can't see if there are cysts in the lining of the uterus because the scope never goes into the uterus. But if you have really large cysts on ultrasound, you might see them. At surgical breedings, then we will definitely be able to identify them. And that's where we have people that say, oh, my vet said that they found 6 cysts and they popped them and now she should be fine. Well, there can be like hundreds and hundreds of these cysts in the lining of the uterus. And no amount of popping those cysts is going to make that uterus happy and healthy. You're going to cause inflammation. There's never going to be a good place for that placenta to attach. So those bitches are going to be bitches that aren't pregnant. If they had 4 or 5 cysts, fine, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to get her pregnant. The other kind of cysts are the ones that we see on the serosal surface, which is the outer part of the uterus. And we'll see those most commonly in either Bernese Mountain Dogs or Golden Retrievers that have had multiple mm-hmm. abdominal procedures, like surgical breedings or C-sections, or maybe she ate a towel. And because both of those breeds are notorious for eating towels. And so you've had her in surgery to take out a foreign body. And anytime you do any kind of surgery in the abdomen on certain bitches, especially Goldens and Bernese Mountain Dogs, you'll have these big fluid-filled cystic structures, but they're on the outside of the uterus. Weird. The uterus doesn't get pregnant on the outside. The uterus gets pregnant on the inside. So those are just sort of annoying, but they're not dangerous to the dog and they don't interfere with fertility. So when I have people that describe cysts, I have to be really clear. Are you talking serosal or endometrial?
Okay, excellent. All right, well, thank you very much, Marty. This has been a fantastic walk through our girls' reproductive systems tonight. And I know you have child-mitigated crud, so I'm not going to make you keep talking.
So to speak.
But I sure appreciate your time and your expertise. So,
thank you.
All right, we'll talk again soon.
Good night.
All right, you guys, I know I've been talking about this a lot, but I just want to make sure everybody hears about it. I know every pet owner out there has questions about their pet's health. The Marty and Laura Show is here to help. Hosted by Dr. Marty and I, the new podcast delivers fun, fact-based conversations about all things pet health, whether it's a runny puppy nose or a kitty cough. This show is really designed for your puppy buyers, for your friends, for your non-dog folks in your life. You know, your cousins, uncles, brothers, girlfriend. So feel free to share this on. We encourage you to use this as a great resource for the non-dog people in your life. Talk on. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.